Don't wait until tomorrow to live for today. Now is the time to ask her to spend your lives together. Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers can help you get your happily ever after on right now with 5 years no interest on engagement rings. 1.25-carat total diamond rings start at just $89 per month, even on designer brands like Tacori, A. Jaffe, Gabriel, and more. Our bank is only allowing this extended financing for a limited time, so don't put off what you can do today at Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers.
Time to get your happily ever after on.
Being grateful, being humble, having humility is something that reinforces even more good things to happen to you. And I think it's inspiring being humble and having humility. We recognize those people throughout the course of our day. You see someone who's grateful and thank you so much, and you know, and you just want to continue to help that person. So I think being grateful and having gratitude brings more blessings to you, if you will.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have Dr. Herman Williams. At age 31, about to achieve his dream of becoming an orthopedic surgeon to elite athletes, Herman Williams experienced a life-changing event that left him depressed and disabled. With the love and support of his family, friends, and mentors, Williams reinvented himself and created a deeply fulfilling life and career that helps more people than he could ever dream of. Clear, Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of is both a memoir and a how-to guide with exercises and action steps designed to help the reader create their own best life possible. Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast, Dr. Herman.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you here. I think that it's very interesting. The name of the book that you wrote is very interesting. And I would love for you to expand a little bit on that. Like, how did you name the book?
That's a good question. The book is called Clear, and then the tagline is Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of. Initially, I wanted to call the book Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of, and a very dear friend of mine, actually, Richard Manson, who wrote the foreword in the book, he was kidding me. He said, Herman, that's too long. You know, people will come in the bookstore saying, you know, I want that book, Living the Something, I can't remember. And so I thought long and hard, and we came up with Clear. And Clear has several meanings for me. Excuse me. One of them, Clear, is what you say after you put the defibrillator pads on someone. Oh. And it's your way of telling everybody around the patient, don't anybody touch the patient, because if you're touching the patient and we shock the patient, you'll get shocked also. So that's sort of a well-known term when people say clear. So that's one way, because I was resuscitated, which put me on this journey. But the other thing is the clarity that I got from repeated challenges to my health, and being able to overcome those, and really the clarity with which I've determined my mission in life. And so Clear really has sort of a double meaning for the book.
Beautiful, beautiful. And how about the tagline? I think that's very interesting as well.
Yeah. So, you know, like many people, probably like all people, I developed these very elaborate dreams. In the book, I encourage people to set dreams and goals for themselves, because if you don't dream, you don't challenge yourself, and you certainly won't get if you don't dream. But I had it all figured out in my head. I was going to become a physician, and then I was going to apply to residency in orthopedic surgery, which all of that happened. I had made connections with the Curlin Job Clinic in Los Angeles, California. I had rotated through the Sentinella Hospital in Los Angeles, California, where a lot of the surgeries for the Curlin Job Clinic were being performed at that time. I knew the team doctor for the Rams. Everything was just, it was all lined up. And then all of a sudden, all of that changed, at the blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And today, as I reflect, I'm living a completely different life that I never even dreamed that I would be doing. And as you mentioned in the intro, I had this simple dream of just being a physician and seeing one patient at a time. And then I ended up being a chief medical officer of an organization that had 18 hospitals in 12 states and 10,000 doctors and, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of patients. And so it's a dream that I never even imagined that I'd be doing the kinds of things that I am doing now, and how much more influential they are than I could ever have conceived of. So that's where the tagline comes from.
That's beautiful. And I think it's very wise, because oftentimes we dream of different things, like how our life, how we would love our life to be, but it doesn't always get to that. And having had also some challenges, that can put your life on a different path. And I think that's very wise and very beautiful to say that living the life you didn't dream of, but life that you still appreciate, even if it's something different than what you wanted maybe a few years ago or a few tens of years ago.
Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge for us as individuals, and I try and get this across in the book, is you have to be open to what your path is. And sometimes we think we know what that is, and many people end up on different paths. And I just tell folks, just be open to it, because it could be much bigger, much greater, much more rewarding. Don't fight it. Don't be upset when things change, because sometimes, there's a silver lining. I give you just a very quick example. I mean, I was a chief medical officer for 18 years. I've never been without a job since 1997. And in November of this past year, in 2018, I was told that as a result of a merger with another organization, that I was going to be let go. And my first reaction, is, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to, I got a kid in school. And my wife just said, just be patient. Something is going to happen. Just don't stress it. Don't worry. And we don't want to be naive. Like, I'm not going to sit here in my room and, lightning's going to strike in the front yard and somebody's going to walk in and say, hey, congratulations, new job, Yeah. So you got to do your homework. You have to be out looking for other alternatives. You got to be talking to people and whatnot. But I mean, literally 3 months later, I'm doing something completely different that has just become so rewarding for me. Now I'm a healthcare consultant utilizing all that those 18 years of experience to help other hospitals and other medical centers with their challenges. And so, you know, again, I could have been depressed and been angry and missed all of that time. That really was time that I could have taken off and relaxed in preparation for whatever the next exciting journey is. So just be patient and know that there's something better that's going to come along.
Beautiful, beautiful. I could imagine the two possibilities and how different the energy is when you think about one or the other. Like now, mm-hmm. when you think about one of them, you only think about what's not working and the fact that like the world has ended somehow. And the other one actually gives you hope and empowers you and makes you feel that you can do interesting things and something great is waiting for you somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
you have to focus that energy, you know, and you almost have to will it. I mean, but again, you've got to do your homework too. You got to go out and see people. You got to go and get interviews. You got to prepare your resume. And I went through all of that. But I just knew I was going to be doing something. I just didn't know what that was going to be.
Yeah. So. And by the way, I wanted to ask you about what you said a few minutes ago, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So mm-hmm. you said that you were in the situation where you heard clear. And I want us to talk a little bit about your life-changing event and how you managed to overcome it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where do you want me to start? At the day of the event, or?
Well, what happened before, if that's interesting and relevant, and also at the end of at the end of the story. Of how you managed to overcome it.
So it really came as a surprise to me, as typically, you know, being a physician and having treated patients, a lot of life-changing events come spontaneously without any warning, and mine was no exception. I felt like I was the picture of health. I was 31. I was playing intramural sports. I was working out. I felt just, you know, invincible. You feel like, man, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to live forever. And all of a sudden, you know, and in retrospect, I did have some warning signs. I was having rapid heart rates that were sort of leading me to feeling like I was going to be faint. But we worked all that up with, you know, very sophisticated cardiac workup. And it turned out that they said everything's normal. And I remember my doctor telling me that, you know, we could put you on an antiarrhythmic, but the symptoms and the side effects from the antiarrhythmic medication would be worse than the symptoms that you're feeling now from, you know, the rapid heart rate. So they told me stop drinking coffee and no more caffeine products and, you know, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, gosh, that was in September of 90. And in April of 1991, I had literally had a cardiac arrest and just dropped dead on the basketball court. We would later find out that I had a rare cardiac heart disease called right ventricular dysplasia that typically presents itself in the 30s. You know, early to mid 30s in people's lives. And it just hadn't manifested to the extent where it could be detected by the testing that we had done. So we had basically tested too early. Had we tested a little later, we probably would have discovered the illness. But anyway, we discovered it through a cardiac arrest. But, you know, when you talk about the many blessings, first of all, I ironically was on a team that was primarily anesthesia residents. And the significance of that is that anesthesiologists are probably the best people when it comes to resuscitation. So, wow. You know, that's all they do. And we were working, we were training at a trauma center. So the fact that I had four anesthesia residents at the scene when I went down was a miracle. And then the other thing is, you know, normally you go to these basketball games and we're just playing and no one's paying attention. But my wife came to the game that day. She was the scorekeeper and she just happened to see me slump over and just start foaming at the mouth. And she screamed at the top of her lungs to the other players to tell them, you know, Herman went down. And so probably those two things, early notification and immediate CPR, we know today have a lot to do with the outcome of somebody when they have a cardiac arrest. So I had the best possible chances of survival, even though the data showed that 90% of people who have a cardiac arrest outside the hospital don't actually survive.
Oh my God.
So the odds were against me, but you know, these guys did an incredible job. They ultimately got me to the hospital, and I was then approached by a cardiologist who said, "We're involved in clinical trials for this new research. It's called an automatic internal defibrillator. And this thing would be put in surgically and we would sew patches around your heart so that these patches would detect any abnormal rhythm and it would then trigger this device that was subcutaneous under your skin. Just above your belt line, and this device would shock you just like a paramedic." And they said you'd never have to worry about calling 911 again. And so, you know, my wife and I said, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea." So we agreed to be in that clinical trial. However, you know, this was 28 years ago, and we didn't know what we know today about management of abnormal heart rhythms. And so I was on a very low dose of an antiarrhythmic when I got discharged with this device. And as it turned out, as I got my strength back and became more active and more susceptible to arrhythmias, I kept having these dangerous rhythms and I kept getting shocked. And I was always awake when I got shocked. Some people pass out and they get shocked and then they wake up, and you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, because I could tolerate such a rapid heart rate, I was always awake and alert. And literally in the first 6 months, I got shocked over 40 times. And so it was just a miserable, just agonizing 6 months until we finally found a medication that worked. And I went through every emotion, anger, you know, fear. I was so afraid that I was going to get shocked and I didn't want to leave the house. And, you know, the depression from losing my career, and, you know, but for me, and it's different for everybody, but for me, prayer was just a regular routine for me. I just knew that there were better and bigger things for me to do. And I knew my life wasn't going to end up like this. And so I just hung in there. Also, my wife is just really spiritual guide for me, and, you know, has always just said, you know, just hang in there. Things are going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And, you know, we just finally overcame it. But so I think for me, prayer, faith, and having a devoted spiritual guide who also was my wife made a huge difference and allowed me to get through that very difficult time.
Yeah, I can imagine. It was something like what I've seen in my experience of life. The things that are closest to us, that are that can have the greatest impact, are those that influences the most. Like if you have something inside of you actually that can be triggered in random moments, as I understand, that can trigger pain is something that I can imagine it wasn't really easy to live with. And it wasn't something easy to think about that it's possible to have a different kind of life. And I think that's amazing that you were able to have that kind of faith. But I also wanted to ask you if you feel that in those moments, being grateful for the things that were okay helped you.
Don't wait until tomorrow to live for today. Now is the time to ask her to spend your lives together. Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers can help you get your happily ever after on right now with 5 years no interest on engagement rings. 1.25-carat total diamond rings start at just $89 per month, even on designer brands like Tacori, A. Jaffe, Gabriel, and more. Our bank is only allowing this extended financing for a limited time, so don't put off what you can do today at Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers.
It's time to get your happily ever after on.
Don't wait until tomorrow to live for today. Now is the time to ask her to spend your lives together. Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers can help you get your happily ever after on right now with 5 years no interest on engagement rings. 1.25-carat total diamond rings start at just $89 per month, even on designer brands like Tacori, A. Jaffe, Gabriel, and more. Our bank is only allowing this extended financing for a limited time, so don't put off what you can do today at Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers.
It's time to get your happily ever after on.
Yeah, I think obviously gratitude is, I think it's reinforcing. I think being grateful, being humble, having humility is something that reinforces even more good things to happen to you. And I think it's inspiring. Being humble and having humility, we recognize those people throughout the course of our day. You see someone who's grateful and thank you so much, and you know, and you just want to continue to help that person. So I think being grateful and having gratitude brings more blessings to you, if you will. It's kind of a reinforcement. And it's just, you know, life is very difficult. And so I try not to take anything for granted. And I appreciate the smallest things in life that are just continue to be an inspiration. And I think that's what keeps me alive and encourages me to get up every day, you know.
Exactly. And I believe there is a beautiful link between the name of your book and gratitude, in the sense that the fact that we are not living the exact life that we dreamed about maybe when we are children or something, mm-hmm. can lead us to a path of depression, of anxiety, of feeling bad for ourselves. But being flexible and being open to other opportunities, other possibilities, and appreciating them can lead us to a really different path and a really different way of seeing life, right?
Yes.
And also, yes. I was thinking about your own experience with having gone through those moments in which, of course, nobody dreams about going through something like that, but still it happened, and your attitude made the difference, right?
Yes. Yes, and I think, you know, reflecting back and just thinking of the odds that were overcome and just being so grateful sort of also turned into, for me, devoting the rest of my life, turning that gratitude into a mission to help others, you know, because there are lots of folks who I think get lost. I heard about a woman, actually just last night, a friend of mine told me that she found out that she had the gene for a neurologic deficit that her mother had, and her mother's affected by it. But she hasn't manifested any symptoms yet, and she's already depressed and has already just kind of resigned herself. Even though, you know, I said, you know, to the friend that was telling me this story, I said, you know, she's missing out on all this wonderful part of life that she should be enjoying before those symptoms even manifest. Maybe they won't. And I said, what happens if we come up with a cure tomorrow?
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, I mean, so then you go, well, why did I spend all that time, you know, suffering when I could have been enjoying life? So gratitude has many dimensions to it, but I've kind of used it as a motivator to help others who haven't had the opportunity to go through what I've gone through and come out even better on the other side.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, thinking about the story that you just told, it's so interesting how we can choose to live life like always thinking about the negative thing that might be mm-hmm. happening in the near future or in the further away. And we can also be present and enjoy the little things and enjoy the life that we have, even though that might actually happen at some point. But living life, just fearing and focusing on the fear isn't healthy, right?
Right. It's just, you know, you could get hit by a car today, but we don't worry about that, you know, because we assume that's not something we want to be preoccupied with. And it's the same with other illnesses. Don't be preoccupied with the worst outcome. You know, I'm humbled by other people, as I see other people have other illnesses that they're dealing with, you know, is that, you know, there you can enjoy life through relationships and helping others and enjoying love and enjoying children and other things. You know, don't make life, you know, be a thing. Like, I have to be this person and I have to have this job and I have to have this car, and otherwise, you know, I'm not life is not about that. About, to me, it's about the relationships and the people you help and the gratitude and that you get throughout life and interacting with other human beings. So, you know, all of that to me all ties together. It's just unfortunate that sometimes you have to go through, you have to suffer to be able to appreciate that, you know?
Yeah, indeed. And as you probably already know, but I want to point this out, many of the research on happiness led to the conclusion that the things that make us the happiest are our relationships, even though they might also be our greatest challenge. But it's our relationships that make us happiest. And I think that's a really important point that you talked about. But I also wanted to get to something else.
Sure.
If you could tell your younger self something about gratitude, what would you tell him?
You know, I always felt like I had gratitude. I'm not sure that, gosh, that's a good question. I'm not sure I'm not sure I could tell my younger self something that I didn't know at that time, because this dream that I had embarked on was so huge. The only way that I could achieve it was through help and mentorship of others. So one of the other things that I did in the book that may not be immediately obvious, but I was able to identify five people that basically shaped my life to where I am today. And so really, the book was a tribute to those individuals and their mentorship and guidance. And it was really showing gratitude to them for helping me achieve those things. And I think I've always known that, but still, you know, there's just a tiny bit of denial that this is a temporary situation. You know, you feel like you're going to live forever. You know, I don't think that I was arrogant or anything like that, but I'm sure there may have been moments where, you know, I probably had a little more pride than I should have. but I've always been a very sensitive, caring person. I've always understood that you can only get from one point to another with the support of others. Maybe just if I could go back and tell my younger self to stay humble and just stay gracious and thank those around you, because you never know who are going to help you. So I guess that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And by the way, it's actually, you actually anticipated one of my questions, in the sense that I wanted to ask you, who are the people in your life, or if you want to go just with one of them, who influenced you that you are very grateful for and that you would like to mention?
Well, there are so, I mean, I think I can quickly mention, you know, one of the people who really taught me to not blame others for my lack of achieving what I wanted to achieve, Dr. Donald Parks. You know, he sort of put me on the path, and he said, look, if you want to become a doctor, then you're going to have to get serious and get down with the work. And I was kind of halfway down with it and blaming other people and blaming other situations for why I didn't get into med school. But with his guidance, I was able to get back on the path. Another person, Augustus White, who was a famous orthopedic surgeon, famous African-American, who was the first African-American student at Stanford medical school, just took me under his wings and helped me publish a paper, and really, I think, is responsible for me getting into my orthopedic surgery program. When I ultimately found out I couldn't complete my surgery program because I was getting defibrillated so much, and I quite frankly thought it was unsafe to be operating if I had the risk of getting shocked during a procedure, I had to just give up my surgical career. I had a friend, Hugh Greeley, who said, look, I'll give you a base salary if you come and work for me as one of my medical directors. And he basically taught me all the skills that I have today in healthcare consulting. And then lastly, Kent Wallace sort of took me in under his wings when I was beginning my career as a chief medical officer, and basically taught me about the importance of execution and executing a plan. He said, there are a lot of smart people, but there are not a lot of people who can execute on a plan. And he taught me the significance of that and how to do that. And he is responsible for me being where I am today. I mean, those individuals starting in 1978 are the ones that got me to where I am today, you know, and it's just, and I think it's important for everyone to, can you go back and figure out those key people who made a difference in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So I give much gratitude to them. And the other thing I point out in the book is I'm an African-American man, but I was helped by all kinds of people, all different races, different cultures, different religions. And I think that's the other thing about gratitude is it brings people to you. People like to see others who appreciate and who are gracious for things and who are nice. And I talk about in my book about kindness, yeah, which I think is a sort of just a step to the right of gratitude is being kind and compassionate. And I think that just brings that energy back to you, and it makes people want to do things for you, and just opens more paths for you.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful and very true. And by the way, since we are nearing the end of our time together, let our audience know where they can find your book.
Yes. So my book can be gotten online at Amazon.com. It's in the Barnes and Noble online bookstore. You can also get it on my website. You can get a signed copy on my website at clearlivingthelife.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, Clear Living the Life You Didn't Dream Of. Search for it on Amazon or go to Herman's website. It was a real, real pleasure having you on. If you want to leave our listeners with a message, those people that might be in a crisis right now or might be dealing with certain challenges.
Yeah, I would just say the other thing I learned is just perseverance always trumps pain. You know, part of overcoming a crisis, whether it's a health crisis or whether it's a death of a loved one, is just giving yourself the time, hanging in there, and it'll get better. You know, nothing is permanent, whether it's a change in your perception of it or an actual change in the situation that you're in. And you mentioned it also, is that try and find the positive. Don't always look at the negative. What's the positive? How can I, you know, people say, how can I make lemonade out of lemons, you know, and not just I think we have a choice in many cases to respond positively to things that happen or to respond negatively. So I say, hang in there and look for the positive lining in every situation.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here with us, for sharing your wisdom and your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a blessing, and I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to speak to your listeners.
My pleasure.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
At JCPenney, we know you miss us, and we miss you. So, what if we said we had a store that's open all day, every day? We do. It's jcp.com or the JCPenney app. Need a swimsuit? We've got them. Something new and cute for summer? Look no further. Exclusive JCPenney brands, plus your favorite national brands? Yes and yes. Check our site for the latest coupons, and when you spend $49 or more, standard shipping is free. JCPenney. Exclusions apply. See jcp.com for details.
Don't wait until tomorrow to live for today. Now is the time to ask her to spend your lives together. Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers can help you get your happily ever after on right now with 5 years no interest on engagement rings. 1.25-carat total diamond rings start at just $89 per month, even on designer brands like Tacori, A. Jaffe, Gabriel, and more. Our bank is only allowing this extended financing for a limited time, so don't put off what you can do today at Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers.
It's time to get your happily ever after on.